Sisters and brothers, let me read with you or to you a passage of scripture that was read earlier, but just one verse. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Yes. In another version, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. I speak to you today on the thought, choose the message of the cross. Choose the message of the cross. The Jews had a two-way tradition and culture of life that Paul engaged and employed in this text that we read this morning. And this tradition went as far back as the Old Testament writings. Evidence of this two-way tradition is seen firstly in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, where Joshua said, listen to him, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and put away the gods which your fathers served, and serve ye the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served or the gods of the Amorites. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The two-way tradition is seen again, but this time in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, Jesus himself said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it." The two-way tradition was indeed strong among the Jews. In Jamaica, we would say, in the two-way tradition style, you know, is either or either. That's right. In other words, it cannot be in between. It must be a yes or a no. The two-way tradition is strongly supported by a song I learned way back in the day that I found very interesting. It said, "I remember when life was so simple. You did or you didn't. You would or you wouldn't." And then the writer says, "It ain't like that anymore." And then he says, "I remember when life was so easy. People said what they meant. They were either for it or against." But the writer says, "It ain't like that anymore." Somewhere we lost the score. Bring back the days of yay and nay, when we would plainly see the way. Then it was up to us to choose whether to win or lose. The song says, "Bring back the times that we could see what it was we were to be. Caught in the midst of complexity, we search for yay or nay." Yes, the two-way tradition is a back-to-basics tradition. It makes you look squarely at the crux of the matter, the meat of the matter, instead of beating around the bush, as we would say in Jamaica. It is not interested in nuances and subtleties of life. It's either yes or no. So in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, Paul uses this two-way tradition to make his point about the truth of the cross of Jesus. Listen to the two-way traditions that he speaks of. He speaks of the Jews and the Gentiles. Then he speaks of the Jews and the Gentiles versus the believers. Then he speaks of the speech of the cross versus the speech of men's wisdom. Then he talks about the foolishness of God versus the wisdom of man. And then I know Pastor Reverend Craig is just interested in these two-way traditions. He speaks about the weakness of God versus the strength of man. Permit me, sisters and brothers, on behalf of Roden Crescent and Waltham Park, to take out two of these two-way statements to talk about today. Which one should I choose? Well, I will choose two of the critical ones. In fact, to me, it's like two of the most important ones out of this two-way tradition that Paul is using. The first one is the speech of the cross versus the speech of men's wisdom. And then the second is those who are perishing versus those who are being saved. Oh boy, I could talk about all of this for the end of this of the day. Why don't you give me a chance to just talk about it just on and on? No, time wouldn't permit me. So let me just briefly mention these two. Paul, the Apostle Paul, saw that there was definitely a contrast between the speech of the cross and the speech of men's wisdom. The speech of the cross, sisters and brothers, he refers to as the message of the cross. That's right, the message of the cross. You may want to put that in the chat. The message of the cross. Yes, he doesn't see it as a mere speech, but he sees it as a message. There is a difference. So in this scripture passage, the speech of the cross is a message coming directly from God, sent to mankind through his servant. It is a message, not a speech. It is a word from the Lord to humanity. It is not a mere speech. It is not just rhetoric. It is not fancy words put together to titivate the hearer. No, sisters and brothers. It is a word from the Lord. It is a thus saith the Lord. It is I have heard from God and I'm sharing you with you this word. And what is that message? Well, one would think that if it is a message from the Lord, it is going to be a whole book. It is going to be a whole set of encyclopedias. But no, it is simply one word. It is the cross. It is a message of the cross of Christ Jesus. It is a message of the pain. It is a message of the shame and the scandal of the cross for the salvation of man. It is a word from the Lord about Jesus Christ becoming the substitute for man by taking our place on the cross. We should have been on that old rugged cross. The writer said, I should have suffered and died. But he died in our place. He suffered in our space. He bore the penalty in our place. He took unto himself the sins of us all. No wonder the songwriter says, all the way to Calvary, he went for me, went for me. He went for me all the way to Calvary. He went for me. And now he sets me free. Although I have so many, many sins, Jesus washed them all away and he pardoned me. Although I had so many, many sins, Jesus washed them all away. Woo! And he pardoned me. That's why my two council members from Roden Crescent that are with me this morning looking so decked out in their in their COVID outfit. They are rejoicing today because God has set them free, because God has stood in their place, and now they are free. That is why my brother and friend, yes, John Stott, he is a great theologian and churchman of yesteryear from the Anglican community. He shares with us these words from the United Kingdom. He says, there are three final lessons which I learned from the cross. First, that my sin is foul beyond words. If there were no way for us or for our sins to be cleansed and forgiven, but that the Son of God should die for them, then our sins must be sinful indeed. The first lesson. And then the second lesson, he says, I learned that God's love is great beyond all understanding. He says, he could have abandoned us to our just fate and left us to perish in our sins. But he didn't. He loved us. And he pursued us. He came chasing after us. Yes, even to the desolate agony of the cross. Third lesson. I learned that salvation is a free gift. I do not deserve it. I cannot earn it. I do not need to attempt to procure or to buy it. By my own merit, I cannot purchase. Jesus Christ on the cross has done everything that is necessary for us to be forgiven. He has borne our sin and curse. What then must we do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing but fall on our knees in penitence and faith and stretch out our open, empty hand to receive salvation as a gift that is entirely free. What a God! What a gift! What a grace! What a goodness! What a favor! Oh my God, I am free. I am set free. I am liberated because of the grace of God. He took my place, and today I'm free. This message of the cross is given over against the cultured, sophisticated, and empty speech of the Greeks, of the Jamaicans who love to give us fluffy words. Here, Paul mentions words of human wisdom. He says when he used these words, the cross of Christ is emptied of its power, emptied of its deliverance, emptied of its capacity to save, emptied of its salvation. The speech of men's wisdom is eloquent, cultured, and tantalizing, whatever that word means. The speech of men's wisdom is carefully crafted and well put together to lure you and tickle your fancy so that you will easily embrace the worldview of secular society. So that you will embrace the philosophical evils of man to try to change the word of Almighty God and the principles of God and the doctrines and the precepts of God, which will make one wise, which will make a society prosperous. They want to change that for their own good and their own happiness. Yes. The wisdom of man is aimed at making you see things from a secular, humanistic perspective rather than a godly perspective. Today, the two competing speeches are presented to us again. The two rivaling speeches are placed before the Jamaican people. The two competing claims, the two views are once again presented to you, my friends. You all over the world, you in the Caribbean, you in Jamaica, at Rhone Crescent, at Waltham Park. These two competing speeches are once again presented to you. And the words of Joshua in the Old Testament comes ringing back in our ears. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will it be the message of the cross of Jesus, or the speeches and the fanciness of philosophies of our modern world? Choose. You have a choice today, and you are going to make that choice. Whatever you do, if you say you make no choice, you are actually making a choice. What choice will you make today? In the two-way tradition of Paul, we see in the speech of the cross, we see the speech of the cross and the speech of human wisdom. But in addition to that, as I said, we're talking about two things this day. He also lifts up two distinctly different groups of people. He describes one group as those who are perishing, and the other group as those who are being saved. He lifts them up as if there are only two groups in society, two groups in the world: those who are perishing and those who are being saved. The use of the word being in the text, yes, in the two instances, is the employment of what we call the present participle. That means that the perishing and the being saved are taking place now and is ongoing. God's strong and decisive action in Christ's death and resurrection has brought about a new age. It has brought about a new creation. It has brought about a new life. Yes, the old world of death and destruction, the whole old world of hopelessness and helplessness is behind. Through the cross of Jesus, through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the anointed preaching of preachers, light and life has come to the world today. No wonder 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Yes, my friends, we are into the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of salvation. We are through the cross of Jesus. We are through the blood of Jesus. We are set free. That's why one church sister says, "I am free. Praise the Lord. I am free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. Oh, my soul is resting in such a blessing." And then she bawled out from the bottom of her heart, "Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free." If you're in your homes right now, can there be a shout of "Praise the Lord. I am free." In your bedroom, "Praise the Lord, I am free." In your kitchen, hold a knife good and say, "Praise the Lord, I am free." If you're in your motor vehicle right now, somebody shout, "Praise the Lord, I am free." What a good thing. Oh, the writer says, "Oh, what a wonderful thing, a very wonderful thing to be free from sin and have Christ within, to be made a joint here with Jesus my Lord." What a wonderful, yes, Sister Pat. What a wonderful. And then I don't know if this is grammatically correct, but a very wonderful thing. Yes, No wonder John chapter 10 verse 10 says, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. No wonder John 4 verse 14 says, but whoever drinks the water I give to him will never, come on, will in other words, him not go feel thirsty no more. Lord have mercy. But Jesus says, the water that I give him will become in him. Not just water where him a drink, but water that is welling up, water that is springing up. When you drink the water, you turn well. Lord God, water just a spill out of you, so in the name of the Lord, and that wells up into eternal life. Paul has therefore abandoned the former divisions of humanity, the former segmentation of society into Jews and Gentiles in bondage. Paul has therefore abandoned the segmentation of society, my friends, into black and white in bondage. Paul has therefore abandoned the caste system in India. He would abandon the class system of upper class and lower class in Jamaica. He would abandon the browning and the black thing, like the two sisters in front of me. He has abandoned that. Yes, my friends, in our culture. He would abandon the rich and the poor argument in the name of Jesus. The only division, therefore, that is of importance in society now, those who are perishing and those who are being saved. Jews and Greeks can now come together in one community called the church. Black and white can now come together in one community called the church. Upper class and lower class. Yes, the rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated can now come together in one community. That community is called the church. It is called the kingdom of Almighty God. Those who are being saved, those who have eternal life, are in that kingdom, are in that community. No more perishing, no more lostness, no more death, no more destruction. Eternal life to the max. So as Paul sees it, your fate has not been set as yet. Take note that this passage is saying that your fate has not really fully been set as yet. You are perishing or you are being saved. Yes, you still have a chance to slip over. Yes, you still have an opportunity. The door for the perishing is still open. There is still a window of opportunity. The water is still troubled. So we say, step right in. Don't allow the preaching of the cross to become either foolishness or a stumbling block to you today. As the Greeks sought for the speech of men's wisdom, they ran after fancy words and made the speech of the cross foolishness. As the Jews sought for political freedom, they sought for the kingdoms of this world. They rather to have a king than to have God leading them. Yes, yes, they chose the kingdoms of this world over the kingdom of God. Hence the cross became a stumbling block. For the Jews, the cross ultimately became a scandalous affair, which led to them being in a trap. That's what the word means in verse 23. The cross became a stumbling block. It meant that the cross became a scandal and a trap. How many of you today have sought for liberation in political ideologies of this world? How many have sought for prosperity and liberation in the political constructs of man? Yes, my friends, and it has just not worked out. Yes, we move from one P to another P. We vote for one P, and the next election, we vote for another P, and we still find ourselves in the same country.
condition. Men are still killing. Crime is still high. Rape is rampant. COVID is still on. COVID still a keep. Ah, mighty God. Things are happening right around the world. Nothing has changed. Not only in Jamaica, but in the United States, in the United Kingdom, in France and Germany. Things remain. In fact, there is a saying that the more things change, the more they remain the same. The same hopelessness. The same not now gone. It's time to switch. Time to make a move. Time to switch over to the cross of Christ. It's time to vote for Jesus and make him become Lord of your life. A Jesus time now. A God time now. The story is told. It's a true story, it seems. In the volume, In Planet in Rebellion, by George Vanderman Rat. And he wrote, it was May 21, 1946. The place, Los Alamos. Los Alamos was the place. Yes, a young and daring scientist was carrying out a necessary experiment in preparation for the atomic test to be conducted in the waters of the South Pacific. He had successfully performed such an experiment many times before. In his effort to determine the amount of U-235 necessary for a chain reaction, scientists call it the critical mass, it would push two hemispheres, or rather, he would push two hemispheres of uranium together. Then, just as the mass became critical, he would push them apart with his screwdriver, thus instantly stopping the chain reaction. But that day, if I had a whole congregation of church before me, I would say, somebody say, but that day. But that day, just as the material became critical, the screwdriver slipped. The hemispheres of uranium came too close. Instantly, the room was filled with a dazzling blaze. Young Louis Slotin, instead of ducking and thereby possibly saving himself, he tore the two hemispheres apart with his bare hands and thus interrupted the chain reaction. By this instant, self-forgetful daring, he saved the lives of the seven other persons in the room. And as he waited for the car that was to take them to the hospital, he said quietly to one of his companions, "You will come through all right. Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing is going to be all right. But I haven't the faintest chance myself." It was only too true of the young scientist. The story goes on to say that 9 days later, young Louis lost his life. He died in pain and agony. 19 centuries ago, the Son of the Living God walked directly into sin's most concentrated radiation. He allowed himself to be touched by its curse and let it take his own life. But by that act, he broke the chain reaction. He broke the power of sin. And so today, I can say, I am free. Pastor Mike, praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting in such a blessing. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free. Now I want somebody else to sing that. If you're not a Christian, join me. I am free. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm free. Pastor Michael is coming to pray. No longer bound, because if you're bound today, no more chains holding me. Receive this prayer. My soul is resting. Hallelujah. Oh, in such a blessing. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. Just sing that last line with me. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. Somebody else sing the song with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. If you're not a Christian today and you're listening to me on Love 101, Roden Crescent would like to tell you that you can be free. The church at 6 Roden Crescent would like to announce to you that you can be free. If you're watching on social media, Waltham Park Church would like to declare to you that you can be free. If you're feeling something in your heart right now, a little discomfort, a little conviction, the New Testament Church of God in Jamaica would like to tell you that you can be free. My friends, if you're here listening on this broadcast, somewhere around the world, the Church of Jesus Christ, blood-washed believers from different denominations would like to declare to you that you can be free. If you're in the chat, or if you're on social media rather, why not just put in the chat right now, salvation. That's all we want you to put. You don't even have to spell it correctly, you know. All you have to do is just go in that chat and put salvation. And we will know that you need Jesus. We will call your names in our prayers, and we will release you into the goodness of God. Maybe there is a Google Doc form in the chat right now that you can see. If you see a Google Doc form right in the chat, I want you to just click on that Google Doc sign. Click on the link, and it will take you immediately to a form that will change your life. Because as you just fill out that very simple form and click submit, then that form, my friends, will lead you to life everlasting, as we will receive that form and we'll pray for you. Friends, at Jesus' time now, if it was that there was an epidemic in Jamaica alone, then this word would only be for Jamaica. But this word is for the whole world. A God time now. This is God's hour. This is the hour of decision. You are faced between good and evil. You're standing between God and the enemy. You have a window of opportunity. You are perishing, but there is a chance right now for you to slip onto the narrow road. As this prayer is being prayed, say yes to Jesus.